From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of November, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, governments of the European Union are cutting back direct aids to farmers. U.S. House Ag Committee Chair Colin Peterson says he has no plans to leave his post and expects to reorganize USDA next year. And Verison has stopped taking delivery of corn at its Dyersville, Iowa ethanol plant. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll ask you to participate in a U of I research study on a macronutrient. It all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's take a look at the numbers now on a Friday afternoon as they settled in Chicago. December wheat for the soft red at 499, down 12 and 3 quarters of a cent today. March at 518, 13 lower, and the May soft red winter wheat at 531 and 3 quarters, down 13 cents. In Kansas City, the nearby December at 533 and a half, 14 and 3 quarters for the hard red winter wheat. From Chicago in the corn pit, nearby December contract at 338 and a half, 25 and a quarter lower. March at 354 and a quarter, down 25 and 3 quarters. In May, corn futures 365 and a half, down 25 and a half. July 376 and a quarter, 25 and 1/2 cents lower. And next year's December corn futures finished the day like this. That contract at $4.75 of a cent, down 25 and a quarter. December oats 5.5 cents lower at $2.75 of a cent. And the soy complex, January beans today, a loss of 16 cents at $8.40. The March at 847 and a quarter, 15 and a half lower. And the May futures at 855 and 3 quarters, down 15 and 3 quarters. July contract for the beans, 863 and 3 quarters, down 15 and a quarter. And next year's November at 854 and a quarter. The red harvest month, down 15 and a quarter. December bean meal futures for the day at 249.90, down 7.30. December bean oil off 7, or rather up 7 cents, higher at $30.70. From the Mercantile Exchange side of the CME Group, livestock, December live cattle at 84.90, down 90 cents. Jans at 84.40 on the feeders, down 35, and the hogs at 56.87 and a half, 7.5 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures are above $50 again at $50.75 a barrel, up $1.33. February at $50.70, up 29 cents. December ethanol, $1.57.8, down 6.5 cents. Natural gas at $6.45.3, 13.7 higher. The RBOB gasoline up as well, 4.6 higher at $105.3. And the heating oil futures, $1.69.7, up 2.1 cents. That, of course, is diesel fuel. December propane at 68.2 is down 4 cents for the day. And the gold futures are now trading at $791.70, up $43.10 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, this is a 15-minute delay quote, at 75.48, just about 4 points lower, but we had did hear that they were higher from NPR just before we began the program, and I suspect that is actually the case. The U.S. dollar at 88.13 is down 0.14 for the day, and the CRB index at 230.95 is up 0.6 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says, in northern and central Illinois, should be some increasing clouds today and tonight. In north central, northeastern, and east central Indiana, mostly cloudy. A few flurries there. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 13 in the north to 23 in the southwestern part of Illinois. Tomorrow, says Ed, in northwestern and west central Illinois, cloudy. Some scattered flurries, a few sprinkles. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Highs will range tomorrow from 32 in northern Indiana to 43 in the west, central, and southwestern parts of the great state of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We always talk with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, on a Friday. Today is no different. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Did you get the cattle on feed numbers?
We did. The on-feed numbers came in 95%, a little bit on the high end of the range, a little bit negative for the front-end feeders. They showed from 700 pounds on up, probably the biggest increases versus last year in the on-feed numbers. Placements at 89%, kind of on the middle of the range, and marketings for October, 97% on the top end, probably a little friendly for the live cattle, especially the February, where the winter marketings and the winter weather usually try and give them a little bit more of a pop.
Is the 89 an interesting number or not to you?
Not too much. I think the on-feed number being on the high side is a little bit more interesting for me, just not just from the feeder standpoint, but also from the corn standpoint, because one of the negative things that's been promoted so much this week in the corn complex has not just been the negative ethanol demand basis bias, but also the negative poultry bias and the negative cattle and hog bias. And so this might do a little bit to shore up some of the livestock demand at least.
The Des Moines Register, I think, reporting earlier in the week that 16 plants across the nation have been shut down, and their expectations were for 40 more to go bankrupt.
Yeah, and I think that's really a big thing that played in the role of the trade today. I think the strong rally expectations this morning on the heels of a real nice knee-jerk move higher in the gold and in the early morning crude oil, and also in the stock market on a much weaker dollar, had the market set up that, okay, we won't take it down like we had anticipated, since corn especially broke through that 360 in the overnight trade. I think they were trying to hold off on taking it down and doing what they did eventually do to it today. But, like I said, the outside markets didn't hold up, and certainly when I talked to Chicago today, the Verisun news that you reported in the up at the front of the program, mm-hmm. and what you just talked about, those were certainly main highlights that I got feedback from the floor. And also there were some fund liquidation. Some suspect from our contacts that maybe the cycle people were looking at 346 in December as a key number. And since that didn't hold, some of the funds made some mechanical triggers and pulled those and liquidated. And some of the big funds that were noted was J.P. Morgan. So it does look like it almost goes back to where we were about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We've got Citigroup now talking about getting together this weekend, deciding whether they're going to have to file Chapter 11 or whether they're going to get bailed out by the government. Right. And now all of a sudden we're talking about fund liquidation again, which we had thought was probably over with at this point.
Yeah, this is interesting, because then you turn around and if you look, you talked a little bit about what the text picture looks like, but we've been discussing this sort of sideways to lower move, sideways consolidation that we've been in, and the idea that when it breaks, that we better be ready. And it broke today to the downside.
So. Yeah, it did. You had that wing and a hope and a prayer with the outside markets early this morning and the dollar breaking. And, you know, you also got news from the Ag Secretariat down in Argentina that there was damage done with the recent frost to the corn plants in a couple regions. They wouldn't give us any numbers or quantify it, but between that and the planting being off 8% versus last year on corn, and some of the other weather issues going on and supply issues going on, maybe one of the main things that's still the same in the last month and a half is the trade, whether it's the outside markets or whether it's the grain markets, they still continue to be consumed with the demand side of the market and are ignoring almost completely the supply side, in our view.
Yeah, so fundamentally you think the market should be ripe to move a bit higher, at least sideways to higher, but the outside markets just keep pushing this price lower. When do we start talking about deflation?
Well, they already started talking about it in the outside markets, and I wouldn't be surprised that the grain trade, if they continue to see the weaker demand in the corn and wheat, don't start to talk about it maybe after the Christmas holiday. You know, it's kind of like what Dave and I were talking about this morning, Todd. I think there's a window of opportunity to turn this ship around before it goes over Niagara Falls, and that's kind of the analogy that we're trying to use with clients and at our meetings, is that you do not want unemployment to keep going up. You don't want the financial markets to keep weakening, especially after Obama and the new Congress come in mid-January. You want quick action, decisive action by the government. I think that's the biggest negative as to what happened this week in the grain trade and the equities trade, is we continue to see this indecisiveness and almost psychotic behavior by the government, and it's doing nothing but pulling more money out of the market. So I hope that by the time we get to the January, mid-January time period, late January time period, we're turning the financial markets into more of a bottoming price action, the grain markets with it, and you don't have to push unemployment so high that all of a sudden you have to start worrying about your GDP. You don't have to start worrying about lack of tax revenue, and then ultimately you don't have to worry about deflation. I think the tangible deflation we still aren't in, because we did see gasoline demand. It was only down 2% this past month, whereas last month it was down about 5%. So the lower prices are trying to get that demand to stick. So we're seeing some good signs that says that deflation is not endemic. It's not part of our permanent culture in the economy. But time is against us, and we really need to change this course in the next 60 days.
Well, what do you call the lack of decisiveness? Is that have to do with the auto industry? Is it have to do with the change of plan by the Bush administration for the $750 billion? Which part?
All of the above. I think you don't have to be a partisan when it comes to the economic and the financial situation we've dealt with the last 4 weeks or the last 5 weeks. It has been a train wreck, and I really mean that sincerely, speaking on, you know, not speaking for Risk Management Commodities, but just speaking as a taxpayer and a person that has the right to vote. I see this as just a complete train wreck the last 5 or 6 weeks. And what that does is the traders are trading newswire commentary and business news channels. They're not looking at fundamentals, and it goes back to looking at the logical or rational side of the market. They're looking at all emotion, and I think that's evident in how we were down triple digits yesterday, got news there was a bailout, we went up triple digits in the Dow, and then by the end of the day, both parties had, you know, kind of knocked each other out, and we were down, you know, 445 or 450 points by the end of the day. I think almost 100% of that was the Paulson, the news conference, and all these other news conferences about the bailout.
Yeah, so trading irrationally, and the only way to calm that is to have government take a stance and hold it.
Be decisive, yeah. And I think what we're going to do with clients when it comes back to the corn and beans is we go below 335 in the December corn. We go below 850, 825 in the January beans next week. I think what we'll do is go ahead and pull off our corn puts and get flat. And then once we get, if we would happen to see July corn futures go down to 350, we'll probably make a determination of whether we may go ahead and pre-buy some 09 calls in anticipation of making sales later down the road and actually get double long for a time period in the corn. We're going to keep our Jan bean calls in place, probably even roll those down next week as well. So we're not bearish when it comes to the fundamentals, but we certainly can't be bullish because of what you and I just talked about.
All right. Thanks much, Mike.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Mike Zuzulos with Risk Management Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Dave Dickey's here now with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, European Union governments yesterday agreed to reform the EU's plan for distributing billions of dollars in annual farm subsidies, including less direct aid for farmers and fewer government restrictions on production of some crops. The reforms continue a process started in 2003 of reducing the EU's intervention in agricultural markets. Subsidies will be completely separated from production for durum wheat, olive oil, and hops starting in 2010, and for beef, veal, rice, nuts, seeds, protein, and potato starch starting in 2012. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says he does not plan to leave his post, and despite a lot of speculation, he says he is not a candidate for Agriculture Secretary in President-elect Barack Obama's administration. Peterson says he wants to reorganize USDA next year, including emphasizing computer overhauls in major agencies such as the Farm Service Agency and the Risk Management Agency. The Michigan Surveys of Consumers Today says U.S. consumers expect the unemployment rate to rise steeply in a prolonged recession and, as a result, have slashed spending plans. Consumers expect the unemployment rate to top 8.5% by the end of 2009, which is consistent with a dip in total personal consumption expenditures of 1% next year. With no end in sight to the economic bad news, President George Bush this morning ensured that millions of laid-off workers will keep getting their unemployment checks as the year-end holidays approach. Bush signed an extension of jobless benefits into law this morning as he was preparing to leave the White House for a flight to Lima, Peru. The Senate approved a measure yesterday that will provide for up to 3 months of extra benefits for those whose unemployment benefits have run out or are about to expire. And beleaguered U.S. ethanol company Verisun Energy Corporation has stopped taking delivery of corn at its Dyersville, Iowa plant. Verisun did not immediately return phone calls seeking comment. The plant, which has production capacity of 110 million gallons per year, will not purchase or receive corn until further notice. Verisun went bankrupt late last month under the pressure of pricey contracts for corn and the credit crunch. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program, the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's happening in the world of agriculture. We'll record that program this evening at about 4:30 in the afternoon Central Time and get it posted to the website at willag.org. That's willag.org by 6 o'clock. You can hear it on this radio station or just go to our website at willag.org. On WILL, the home flagship station airs at 6 a.m. in the morning and 11:30 in the morning on Saturdays. Now up next, you know, the soil fertility specialist right here at the University of Illinois is planning a sulfur study for the 2009 growing season. I'll have more on that macronutrient, how it's used in the corn plant, and how farmers and landowners can participate in the U of I research. We think of fertilizer or plant food as being primarily N, P, and K, or nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. The next macronutrient on the list, says University of Illinois soil fertility and plant nutrition specialist Fabian Fernandez, is sulfur.
Sulfur is one of the essential elements, so the plant needs sulfur in order to complete its life cycle. And it requires quite a bit of sulfur. We divide the nutrients into macro elements or micro elements. Macro means that they are needed in large supply. Micro that are needed in less supply. And so sulfur is one of the macro elements, meaning that it's needed in a large supply. And typically we don't worry about it because there is enough in the soil to supply the needs of the crop. But as I mentioned, we are seeing more and more responses to sulfur as we increase production and we reduce the amount of inputs of sulfur.
The amount of sulfur soils in the state are being exposed to annually has declined dramatically over the last three decades. It means, says the soil scientist, that adding a bit of sulfur to the fertilizer mix can cause a corn yield response. He surmises, but cannot be sure, that response comes because of the lower sulfur inputs.
Some of the reasons are that we have higher yields than what we had 3 years ago, so there is more removal or more potential removal of sulfur. Industry is burning a lot cleaner, so there is less sulfur deposition from the atmosphere. And there are less inputs of sulfur in the farming system. There are less fertilizers that have sulfur in them, as well as insecticides and pesticides.
It seems clear, then, that there is a lack of this macronutrient. But that doesn't mean it's true. So, U of I Extension's Fabian Fernandez is setting up a statewide sulfur study. He's looking for a few good farmers to give him a hand.
That's right, yes. We would like to get a good representation of the state. So, looking at, we are right now looking for volunteers that could participate in this program. As many sites as possible. The more sites we have, the better it is for this type of research. And in terms of what we are looking for specifically, we are looking for fields that are low in organic matter, fields that have coarse texture, sandy soils types, that will more likely respond to sulfur, and so across the state, basically.
Fernandez says for the purposes of this study, he is not interested in testing soils where sulfur or manure has been applied in the last 5 years. Those interested in participating in the sulfur study can call or email Fabian Fernandez on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. His email address is Fernandez without the Z on the end of it, Fernandez@illinois.edu, and his phone number is 217-333-4426. That's 217-333-4426. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check in on the cash grain market. On the line with us today from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois, is Bruce Bostard. He's the general manager there of the co-op's 10 Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
How many do you have open over the weekend?
Only two.
Oh, and where
only
are they?
Only two. And I think the lead one will be Paxton. It'll be open on Saturday, and everything's closed on Sunday. So it's a nice change.
Oh, that is a nice change for you. That means harvest is complete pretty much in your part of the world.
It is pretty much wrapping up. We're still getting a little bit of corn in today. Not surprisingly, what's coming in is still very wet. I graded some upper 20s coming across the scale earlier today, so it's still coming in wet.
And so there will be a drying charge yet.
There will be a drying charge. We sent out drying bills on Thursday. Probably we were a lot more excited to send them out than our customers will be to get them.
You think so? I'll bet so. This is probably one of the first years that you can really remember sending out a lot of drying bills, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the average moisture, if I go through and look at our receipts for harvest, everything averaged probably 4 points of moisture on it. And instead of tailing off, it just kept staying in that 18% to 20% range.
Well, tell me about the cash grain market. how's it holding up comparatively speaking?
Well, if we look at the basis, we've seen a little bit of gain on it. Unfortunately, a penny or two on corn basis doesn't stand up very well in front of 10 to 25 cent down flat price days.
Right.
Beans up a little bit, continuing on the November, up on the January also. Processors continue to hang in there. Beans show a little bit better fundamental strength. The Chinese government has come in and trying to rebuild stockpiles. That has their domestic, the Chinese farmer selling into the government stockpile program, so their crushers are buying some U.S. beans.
And very quickly, I got 10 seconds for bids.
3.16 into Paxton on corn and 8.17 on soybeans.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on a Friday afternoon, 2 minutes to the ag weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. More than $170 million was restored to Illinois' human service agencies yesterday, but the head of one such organization in Champaign says he's reacting cautiously. Dale Morrissey of the Developmental Services Center says they're still at risk of losing more than $270 million in reserve funds that the state could still hold back. Morrissey says he's also frustrated that the DSC hasn't received a state payment since July. Governor Rob Blagojevich is expected to sign a bill requiring insurers to cover autism treatment up to $36,000 a year until a patient turns 21. An estimated 4,500 Illinois families would benefit from the coverage. The bill also would require insurers to cover diagnosis. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says Indiana lost nearly 5,800 jobs in October. Indiana was among 38 states in the District of Columbia that lost jobs last month. The agency released the preliminary figures today. Air Force officials say more than a mile of steam piping covered in asbestos will be removed from the former Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul. Air Force officials announced yesterday that they've awarded a $150,000 contract to remove and dispose of the abandoned steam pipes laden with the toxic material. Work starts next month. After 30 years in office, Urbana Democrat Jennifer Putman is leaving the Champaign County Board. But Putman's name will stay behind at the county's Brookins Center. County board members voted last night to name a room next to the county boardroom, the Jennifer K. Putman Meeting Room. Senator Dick Durbin says he'd like to see Patrick Fitzgerald stay on the job as U.S. Attorney for Northern Illinois. The Illinois Democrat said at a news conference today he'll recommend another term for the corruption-busting federal prosecutor. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey is on hand with us. Jim serves as the state's climatologist. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about the weather. It's cold.
Yes, that's right. It feels like late November out there. You know, highs in the, I think we're barely getting up to the freezing mark today and get back down in the teens tonight, but by this weekend, a high of 39 on Saturday and 47 on Sunday, so a great day to be outside to kind of wrap up that last bit of yard work, and looks pretty nice for the Illinois game up at Evanston, Illinois. I think they're going to have highs in the upper 30s and sunny conditions as well, so it'll be a very pleasant weekend.
We'll go Illini. Hopefully they play well in the cold, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so we'll find out. But that high 39 is still a bit below where the normal high is. 47 sounds like it's pretty close to average, though.
That's right. Yeah, that's much closer to average for this time of year.
And then when you get out, you start taking a look at next week. There will be some folks that want to put anhydrous ammonia on yet. I think it's probably cold enough at the 4-inch soil depth to do that, I'd bet, by now.
And probably so.
Will it be dry yet?
Yeah, the only chance of precipitation right now, between now and Thanksgiving Day, is on Sunday night. There's just kind of a little ripple in the weather system that may bring us about a 30% chance of rain Sunday night. But other than that, it's going to be cold and clear from here until Thanksgiving.
Have any early temptation to tell me what Thanksgiving Day is going to look like?
Well, you know, right now it looks pretty good. The forecast is for a high of 47 and sunny conditions right on Thanksgiving Day. I think it will be a great day around here and pretty much around the Midwest. Now, there is another system supposed to move through on about Friday or Saturday, and that should bring precipitation. Not quite sure yet if we here will get rain or snow out of it, but that's our next opportunity for precipitation anyway.
All in all, how's the fall appear to be looking compared to normal at this time?
Well, it's actually pretty good. We are on a little on the wet side, but that's just because we are so wet in September. October and November have actually been fairly dry, so we've lucked out in that regard after having so much trouble with rains through the growing season. We finally had a fall that at least has cooperated somewhat.
And if you look around the Midwest, are there any other anomalies that we need to keep track of? For instance, I know farmers, and we talk about this quite a bit, in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, in parts of South and North Dakota, parts of Iowa, a little bit of Minnesota, and even down in northern parts of Missouri are really having a tough time. And if you really want to take a spread, the boot heels had a rough time getting the harvest in, too.
Yeah, that's right. There's been some areas that have really seen some big delays. And then we also have some other areas that are still struggling with drought. Kind of the Kentucky, Tennessee area is still having some drought problems.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think that's it.
Okay, thanks much.
All right.
That's Jim Angel. He's with the Illinois State Water Survey, located here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He serves as the Illinois State Climatologist. Somebody from the Illinois State Water Survey joins us on Friday afternoons to take a look at the agricultural weather. You can always hear our weather forecast and the market analysis any time you'd like at willag.org. That's our website. Just visit there. WILLAG.org. You have a great afternoon and a fun weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.